Well, we're talking today, actually, about the Holy Spirit. We've been studying it on Wednesday nights. Our class on Wednesday night has been talking about the Holy Spirit based on a book written by our general superintendent. But as I was teaching it last week, I really felt that this is something that the church needs to hear. I struggled all week with this, trying to figure out what it was that God wanted to say. And then I realized it's about this, and it kind of ties into the last song we sang this morning as well. I'm going to ask you a question, and you can answer it to yourself. Why do we come to church on Sunday? Why do we come? Do we come because it's something we've always done? Sometimes. Do you come because you feel guilty if you don't come? That's okay. That's the Holy Spirit. Do you come, it's Sunday morning, I got to go to church. Do you come to church because you have absolutely nothing else to do, so you come to church? Good. I hope the reason we come is because we need God. I hope we come because we know we need to be in fellowship with other believers. And I hope we come because we know we need to spend time with God and His people. We know we need to spend time worshiping and hearing God's word. All that sounds awesome and great. But what is it? What does that boil down to? If I could say that all in one sentence. You need God to do something in your life. Amen? You come because you need God. You need God to do something miraculous, maybe a little miracle, maybe a big miracle. You need something from God. That's why we come. If you come to hear a lecture, you're missing out. If you come to sing a couple of songs, you're missing out. Because all of that is for one purpose, so that God can do what He wants to do in this church. I'm going to read you a verse in a moment, but I'm going to set it up a little bit before I get there. It's a verse in Acts. Now, the Gospels had just ended. Jesus rose from the dead. He walked around with them for a while. He's getting ready to ascend. And He told them not to go anywhere. Wait here until you receive the promise of My Father. Now, that's interesting because in John 20, the Bible says that Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. But yet He told them to wait, because something more is coming. Don't go anywhere yet. Don't evangelize. Don't go preaching. You wait a minute. And then all of a sudden, we know what they're doing. All these guys get together. And remember, these are the guys that as soon as Jesus was arrested, they all scattered, right? Like cockroaches when the light comes on, man. They were gone. Peter was afraid of a couple of girls. He was just a quivering mess. After Jesus breathed on him. So now Acts 2:4 comes. Now this isn't the verse, but this is a setup for the verse. It says, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. The people gathered there because they needed something more from God. Wait here. And they waited. And they waited for God to show up, to do something. They needed God to do something supernatural in their life to change who they were. And He promised that if they waited and if they prayed, He was going to send it. So Acts 2:4 happens. They get all this power. And the same thing is occurring today. What does the Bible say? Where two or more are gathered, there I am, right here. So what happens now because of this? Not only does God show up in the form of the Holy Spirit, He transforms those people and He transforms their lives and He changes the situation around them. These people who were experiencing this power from God had a radical change in their life. Peter, the coward, was changed. Acts 2:14. This isn't the verse. I'm getting there. It says, then Peter stepped forward with the 11 and the other apostles and shouted to the crowd. So he went from being a scared little girl in the garden to being filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit, he steps up and he addresses the crowd, which later we find out 3,000 got saved. So we're assuming that more than 3,000 were there. And he shouted to the crowd. The first thing I'm going to ask God, how can you speak to 3,000 people without any form of amplification? Because I got 100 here and I need a microphone. But it's a God thing. He preached, everybody heard it, and got saved. We come to church because we want God to radically change something in our life. Is that not true? We all have something in our life that we want God to intervene on. We need the supernatural power of God, not only on Sunday mornings, but we come here to be filled with that, to see God working in our lives and in our neighbor's life, to encourage us to go out. That means we come expecting, correct? We come expecting God to show up. Now, we may look at the apostles and think, well, that was great. Those are super spiritual guys, and that was then, and this is now. But here's the verse we're going to talk about today. Acts 2:38 says, after he preached to them, and they all like, what do I have to do? And Peter says this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far off. And look at this last verse. For all whom the Lord our God will call. Everybody. Then, 1,500, right now, everyone is able to experience the same power. The church of 2016 should operate in the same anointing and power that the first century church did. It's the same. The Bible says the Holy Spirit's power is for everyone whom God saves. He's the same then as he is now. And the display of power to change people and situations is the same now as it was then. When people come to church, you come because you need God. Do we think that God is not going to show up? Or do we come thinking, well, it's kind of a perfunctory thing. I got to go. Maybe God's going to show up. The Bible says that God wants to show up in that same power every time. Now, it may not be a huge display of power, but it may be something that God speaks to you. Maybe through something I say, some song we sing, something that someone says during the service. But you are changed because someone operated in the power of the Spirit to change your life, to let you hear something or do something that changes your life. What was the change that happened in these people, in the upper room and the people Peter preached to? It was the baptism was given for one purpose, to give everyone the power and ability to evangelize the world. And it's that power that Peter displays in preaching the sermon. He gets the power of the Holy Spirit and he preaches to 3,000 and they get saved. After he preached a simple message, he concludes with a simple altar call. Acts 2:36, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God who made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The gospel is the same as it was then. How we say it may be different, but the truth is the same. And as soon as people heard it, verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And then we get back to our verse. It says, Peter said, repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. These people were not followers of Christ. These were hardened people seeing what God was doing. They heard about the trembling. They heard about the tongues. They heard about the tongues of fire. They want to know what's going on. So they come and they hear. They're there. Peter preaches to them and they get saved. Why did they come? Because they heard that God was doing something. They had no idea what it was, but they want to see. They're curious. Acts 2:41, those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Because God did supernatural things in the midst of that 120, 3,000 people get saved. God desires the Holy Spirit to do the same thing today. When we come on Sunday morning, we come to be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, So that when people see that in our lives, they say, what should we do? They ask the same question. They give us an opportunity to share the gospel, and God gives you the words to say. That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, when we say miraculous signs, we think of healing and all those kind of things, and that's right, God does all that stuff. But I think another miraculous thing that God does in us is allows us to, how do I say this? When we go through hard times and we struggle with situations, maybe it's a physical thing or whatever it might be in our life that is not right, and God's taking his time in answering that prayer, but God at that moment fills you with the Holy Spirit to give you encouragement and joy in the middle of it. When Paul prayed, take this thorn from me, three times, Jesus says that. You know, not right now. My grace is sufficient for you. God is going to give him the ability to endure that, not only, you know, with a grimace on his face. He's going to endure that thorn with joy and excitement and expectation. So when we are praying for someone and we are going through something ourselves, and God hasn't done it the way we wanted him to do it yet, God still gives us the joy and the peace. And what greater testimony of power is that? Why do we have peace? The Bible says the peace that passes understanding. When people look at Christians who may be suffering, but they still love God, and they still love going to church, and they're excited about what God's going to do, but yet they're suffering, when other people see that, they're amazed. How can you do that? How can you be happy when I know what you're going through? That's the power of God. That's the Holy Spirit giving you power to endure that. And when people ask you, guess what happens? It opens a door. You can tell them why you're feeling excited and joyful, even when things are going hard. The Holy Spirit desires the same thing today, that every person here and every person in every church is filled with the Holy Spirit, and we are exhibiting the power of God, not only in our personal life, but in our corporate life as well. Our verse says, for whom the Lord our God will call. That's all of us, right? That's us. Are we a part of all? Is this church a part of all? Yes. And we should expect the power of the Holy Spirit to show up every time we are together. And what happened with the disciples wasn't a one-time event. Acts 2:43, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. So these guys kept going out and doing miraculous things. And everyone who saw that were in awe of, not them, of what God was doing. People saw what God was doing in these lives, how this miraculous was happening, and guess what? People were getting saved. You ever wondered how Christianity has survived over the years when there's so much opposition against it? I came across a short video. It's really short. It's basically a timeline from, you know, when Christ died through now. And you'll see the video, and what it shows is the spread of Christianity is what it is. Christianity is labeled in white, and other faiths and systems are different colors. And you'll see how the video shows Christianity keeps growing while all the other systems grow, fade, grow, fade, grow, fade. So go ahead, and if you would play that quickly. Now, do you think that that spread of Christianity happened by what man can do on his own? Absolutely not. The Holy Spirit, the power of God in us, is what enables the faith to grow. The continuing spread of Christianity is a direct result of the church relying on not our own ability, but on the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. If we think that our friends and our family and our neighbors are going to come to Christ because of what we do, it's not going to happen. It happens with us working in conjunction with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we as a church, we try to do everything to make it excellent. And, you know, we practice, we study, we prepare, we get ready for Sunday morning and Wednesday night. But if that's all we do is in the natural, it's not going to really affect eternity at all. It's only when we incorporate our efforts with what the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do that God can do an eternal work. So that means if we're faithful to do what God's called us to do and the Holy Spirit is on us, He will accomplish the work. Now, we expect to see great things happen because what happens is it gets people's attention. Hey, what are those people doing? Just like in Acts, they were wondering what was going on. Now we come to Acts chapter 3. God uses the supernatural to validate and support His word. So right after Peter preaches his message for 3,000 people, they leave and start walking through the town. In Acts chapter 3, it says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently and said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift. But Peter said, "I don't have any money for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Now we'll skip to verse 11. Everyone stood there in awe of the wonderful thing that had happened. Peter saw this opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so astounding about this? And why look at us as though we made this man walk by our own power and godliness?" These guys are just walking the town. Some opportunity comes up to share the gospel. God does a miraculous thing, not to heal, but to get their attention. Now he heals them. And the guy gets up and walks away praising God. But what happened? Everyone around them, everyone that saw this happening, were amazed. And it says, Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. When God does something to get your attention, to get the crowd's attention, that is our opportunity to start talking about Christ. And that only comes about by the power of the Holy Spirit. He opens the door. He initiates it. He gets people's attention by doing miraculous things. And then we step in, and hopefully the Holy Spirit speaks through us to get people saved. God got their attention. Peter preached to them. Now, I guess the question is, do you think God still wants people to be saved? Right? What's Peter say? God wants all men to be saved. Does that mean that we as a church have a privilege and a responsibility to do just that? Has God left us alone to do it by ourselves? No. For all whom the Lord our God will call. If this promise is for everyone, then we should expect and believe that as we continue to seek and serve the Lord, He will do miraculous signs amongst us. So that people, they got their attention, and we preach to them. Do we as Christians actually have that power? Do we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis? Or do we rely on our own ability? Can people see us operating in that power? Can they see something in our lives that makes us different? For example, do you have joy when other people said you should be sorrowful? can people see the power of God in us? And the simple way they can see that is, can they see a change in your life? Can they see something different from how you used to be maybe even a year ago? Can they see progression? I think we all agree we want the Holy Spirit to operate that way, correct? We want the Holy Spirit to do miraculous things. So how do we get there? Acts 4:13 says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And this verse is awesome. For they could see that they were ordinary men who had no special training. That means everybody. Everybody. No one needs to be a preacher or a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, theologian. You don't have to be anybody. They were ordinary men, no special training. But this next verse is the key. It says they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. You don't have to be a theologian, but you got to spend time with Jesus. Do you want the Holy Spirit to work in you with power? Spend time with Jesus. Do we spend time with Jesus in our own personal devotional life? Do we have an active prayer life? Do we have an active time where we read God's word and then apply what we've read to our life? We can't expect the Holy Spirit to work through us if we never spend time with Jesus. In church, do we see the power of the Holy Spirit in operation in our church? If not, then we as a church need to spend more time with Jesus. That means we spend more time on our own as well as in the corporate setting. It means we attend prayer meetings. We attend the Wednesday night services. We make it a point not to miss a service. We had a thing with our family. When our kids wanted to stay home from school, we had two reasons why they could stay home from school. Either they're burning up or they're throwing up. That was the two reasons. So unless you're burning up or throwing up, you should be in church. Now, do we come to church because we want to have our attendance card punched and we take your roll? No. We come because we want to spend time with Jesus. You know, we all pray for revival. We all want revival, but revival doesn't begin in a church. Revival begins in people, and the people bring it to the church. So when you're in revival in yourself, at home, and you bring it to church, it's contagious. People want to see it. They get in revival as well. What situations do we have in our life that you need God to change? Think about it. We all have situations that we really can't control, whether it's a health issue or a family issue or a financial issue. There's nothing you can do to change the situation. But you know one who can. God is the one who changes hearts. What situations do you have that you need God to change? Spend time with Jesus and allow him to do the miraculous thing in whatever situation it might be. Who do we know that needs to be saved? We all have family members and friends that need to be saved. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, but we have to exercise it. We have to actually do it. We have to spend time with Jesus and then have that power available when called upon. That means spend time in prayer. You're all geared up. Someone asks you something about your faith. You have the ability to cower away and say nothing, or that's your opportunity to say something. That takes boldness. That takes courage, right? And if you are filled with Jesus, I'm telling you, God will give you the boldness to say it. But if you're not, you won't have it. And you'll back down and you'll change the subject or you'll go on something else. When you are filled with Jesus, you have spent time with him in his word, in your prayer, and you're filled up with the Holy Spirit, God's going to open doors for you to do that, and he's going to give you the boldness and the confidence in which to do that. And he's going to fill your mouth with words to say. Now, a quick summary of this chapter. As it goes on, Peter and John were arrested. Leaders got together, kibitzing amongst themselves, and they come to Acts 4:16 and says, what should we do with these men? They asked each other. We can't deny they have done a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. I'm of the opinion, if God does a miracle, it's not a closet miracle. It's going to be something that everybody knows about. I take issue sometimes to people who are healed of something that you can't verify. My back, it feels better. Or some other thing that is really, you can't quantify it. You can't see it. It's easy to cast doubt on it. When Jesus did a miracle here, everybody in Jerusalem knew about it. The miracles that God does should be verifiable by anybody. And it should be something that everybody sees. And when they see it, their lives are going to be changed. Verse 17 says, perhaps we can stop them from spreading their propaganda. We'll warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So they called the apostles back in and told them never to speak or teach about Jesus. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than men or rather than him? We cannot stop telling about the wonderful things we have seen and heard. You ever think about why were they so upset about people getting healed? Why were people upset about good things happening to other people? Because the enemy hates when God gets the credit and God gets the glory. Anything that points people to God, the enemy hates, no matter how good it may seem to everybody else. So every time that God does a miracle, we should shout it from the rooftops. We should show everyone, tell everyone about what God is doing. That's why our testimonies are so powerful. Acts 4:23 says, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John found the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. Skip to verse 27. This is what happened here in this city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. In fact, everything they did according to your eternal will and plan. And now, O Lord, hear their threats. Give your servants great boldness in their preaching. And this is the verse. Send your healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of Jesus, your holy servant. After this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached God's message with boldness. We should expect that here every week. The city was against them. The town leaders were against them. Everybody they knew on the outside was against them. Does that sound familiar? Our country seems to be against us, correct? Everything that we believe seems to be being attacked. So what did the disciples do? They met together. They committed all the bad things that were happening to God, but yet asked him to do greater miracles and give them greater power. They did not. Now, let me finish my statement before you get all inquisitive here. They did not go out and try to manipulate the government. Now, does that mean we don't vote? Absolutely not. It means we vote. We vote for people that stand for what God stands for. I have a verse. I thought about preaching on this sometime soon. I might. In the Old Testament, when the Babylonians had taken Israel captive, there were people on the outside that were starving to death. But they knew that the Babylonians were outside the gate. So they said, you know, if we stay here, we're going to die. For sure, because there's no food. If we go outside the gate, we may still die, but we may still live. So let's take a shot. You know, if we die out there, at least we gave it a shot. We have an election coming up that we know for sure one candidate is going to make us die spiritually. Now, we don't know what the other candidate is going to do. We don't know. But we know what we have over here. So we may die, but we may live. So take the shot. What did these guys do? They did not try to manipulate the government. They didn't go picket and strike and all that other stuff. They preached the gospel. They preached the gospel. That's all they did. Because as people get saved, society will change. The more we can lead to Christ with God's power, the more our country and communities are going to change. They're not going to change because we make them change. They're going to change because God saves people who have influence, and society will change because of it. It's working that way in the opposite right now, is it not? If I can have the band come back here for a minute, we're going to close with that song we sang this morning. Society is making the leadership change. Is that not correct? People are crying and having hissy fits about something, and they're causing other people to make decisions they shouldn't be making. They're whining and moaning about it. The smallest percentage of people who have the loudest voice are making our leaders change their mind. When we preach the gospel and people get saved, that is what is going to change communities. That's what's going to change situations and lives. So the best thing we can do as a church is to be faithful to what God's word says, always be preaching the gospel, and trust that God's Holy Spirit's power is upon you to change lives. I'm going to ask these folks to sing the song we ended with this morning, because there is power in the name of Jesus. Is that not right? Would you stand with me in a moment? As we sing this song, I know a lot of you have situations in your life you need God to work on. As we sing it, I want you to come down front and believe that God's going to break those chains in your life as well.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Dick, come on down. Pray for Brenda.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Break every chain, break every chain.
Jesus, we believe that today. We believe that there is power in your name, Jesus. If we just believe that miraculous things are going to happen, Lord, in this church, Father, in this city, Father, in this country, Father, we just believe, Lord, and we are going to be part of that army, Lord, rising up to you. In our lives, Lord, there are chains, God, that we need you to break, Father. Things, Lord, that we need you to take care of in our lives, Lord, so that we can be such the army for you. Lord, and we want to go out there with joy, Father, when we shouldn't have joy. And we want to go out there and laugh in the face of that devil, God, and tell him that he is not going to get the victory, but that you are, Father. You are the one, Lord, that is going to rise up. You are the one that's taking care of us, Jesus. You are the one that's taking care of this country. You are the one that's taking care of my life, Jesus. And we believe in that today, God. We believe, Lord, that your name is the best name, Lord, the best name, Father, the most high name, that we just say that. If we just say Jesus, great things will happen because there is power in that name. Jesus, Jesus, there is power in your name. Jesus, there is power, such power in your name. Jesus, your name, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, there's victory. Lord, Jesus, we can overcome anything, Jesus. You are on our side, Jesus. Focus on you, Jesus. And we are going to go out, Lord, and tell everyone that it couldn't have been done, but you did it. Jesus. Jesus, the miracles. We're rising up, Jesus, to be your army. We are rising up to be there and tell people about you.
There's an army rising up. 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 There's an army rising up to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Hallelujah. Do you believe that God has the power to break every chain in your life? Whether it's an addiction, whether it's a physical issue, a family issue, a financial issue, God is able to break every single chain. God is able to restore. God is able to heal. God wants word to get out of his magnificence, his glory, and his power through the Spirit of God in our lives and in this church. Father, we thank you. We sit in amazement of you. You are truly great. You are glorious. You are the God of the universe, and we worship you. We are your servants. We are grateful for our salvation. We are grateful for what you took in our lives to get our attention, to bring us to faith, and to transform us from the inside out. Father, I pray that you would continue to pour your Holy Spirit upon each one of us individually and this church. The book of Acts says that the room was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then the people began to speak. Father, fill this building with your presence, and then fill the people with your Holy Spirit. Let the magnificent power of God be seen through the Spirit of God. Let people be amazed in awe of your power and your magnificence. And let people's hearts be opened to the truth of God's word. Let thousands get saved. Let this church be your outpost, Father. We want to be sent out from here full of your Spirit, full of the anointing, full of your power, to be able to witness and affect change in the people's lives. Christianity grew because individuals went out and did what you called them to do. Help us to go out and fulfill what you've called us to do. We're not to keep it here. We're not to keep it here. We're to experience the power of God, the glory of God, and then begin to spread that wherever we go. So that in the end, when we face Jesus, he'll look at us and said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Bless this church. Bless each person who calls this church their home. Allow us to experience the power, and allow us to experience those miracles in our life. Lord, we pray for many things this morning. And I'm sure there's many things that we didn't even know about. But God, you know everything. And you are able to accomplish anything. Father, we give you glory and honor this morning. We lift up the name of Jesus, who is worthy to be praised. Everything we do and have and are is because of you, Jesus. And we trust you implicitly with our lives. We love you, Lord. Regardless of where you take us, we love you. Father, I commit each person to you. Fill us, use us, bring glory to your name in our lives. In Jesus' name, we ask and believe it is already done. And all of God's people shouted in victory. Amen. Amen. Is God faithful?
Yes.
Is God powerful?
Yes.
Is the Spirit of God for today?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Go leave here with that power.